Well, tennis player Novak Djokovic is ploughing ahead with his preparations for the Australian Open, despite a cloud of uncertainty hanging over his ongoing visa status. The ball remains firmly in the court of the Immigration Minister, Alex Hawke, at this point. He says he's closely reviewing the conditions of the visa after a federal court ruled on Monday that its prior cancellation was invalid. New details about the behaviour of the world number one are emerging pretty much every day. There's also the issue of whether the fiasco has damaged Australia's reputation politically, but also in terms of the sporting arena. And obviously there's intense competition to stage these Grand Slams. And there's now suggestions in the newspapers that Alex Hawke may consider deporting Novak Djokovic on character grounds. The ABC's Tracy Holmes has been looking at all of this pretty forensically. Good morning, Tracy. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Hamish.
There is so much more detail at every twist and turn. Bring us up to speed on what we've learned in the last 24 hours.
Well, there's been quite a lot, and we've seen a response from Novak Djokovic, which has been unusual given he's been relatively quiet throughout this, as you say, because he still has a very big decision that is in somebody else's hands hanging over his future. But what we learned yesterday was that people have been looking at the timeline about everything that he gave to the authorities when he came in, and there were question marks over when he actually found out about his positive test. The appearance at a children's tennis event to award some prizes, and then an interview with L'Équipe magazine. Now, he says he got the indication that he'd tested positive after he'd been at the children's tennis tournament. Then he says that he went to L'Équipe, he cancelled everything else on that day, shouldn't have done the L'Équipe interview. He realises that in hindsight, but it was a long-standing commitment to a very important publication, and he followed all the protocols that you would expect. He was asymptomatic, he wore a mask, he social distanced, and he only took the mask off when it was time to do the photo shoot.
And does the timeline all stack up? I notice that there was some conjecture about whether it was plausible that the result of his PCR test only came through after he'd visited the tennis academy. From your scouring of all of the detail, is it plausible?
Look, it is plausible, absolutely, and I know that people have scanned the QR codes. It's amazing, isn't it? This detail is available on the court website, and you can go through and have a look at his affidavit, and you can look at all of the transcriptions from the interview at the airport. It's quite detailed, and included on that are the QR codes on some of the information that he put forth, such as the validation from the Serbian Institute of Public Health giving the update on whether he was positive or negative. And there are two there because, of course, he was positive and a couple of days later or a week later he has another test and that one is negative. So you can actually scan that code. But what has happened is people have tried scanning it and have come up with different timelines, different results even. There has been somebody that has written on a hacking website about how this can happen. And so, you know, perhaps Novak Djokovic is justified in what he says. But it's a situation where when it comes to Novak Djokovic, people only believe what they want to believe. I have no idea why that is. People just personally do not like him or his attitudes or his character or his personality. And we know these stories. We know them very well. We're all conscious as some sort of bias somewhere. And so there's just an overwhelming amount of information and we choose to believe what we want to see.
It does seem, though, there's a fairly consistent view on the question of whether he breached Serbian isolation rules by going ahead with that interview with the French journalist or the French magazine. He acknowledges that. Serbia's prime minister has told the BBC that that would amount to a clear violation of the rules. And we're now told, according to the Fairfax papers or the Nine papers, that the minister may be considering a test on character grounds because of that breach. Is there any indication that he might face sanction in his home country?
Look, I can't answer that, and I don't think any of us can, because we're not Serbian. We don't live in Serbia. Of course, yes, we know what the rules are, and the Prime Minister said that. I think the Prime Minister also said that there's very little justification for the way that he has been treated here in Australia. And I don't know if we can actually conflate those two issues, because that is something that he needs to deal with in Serbia, and no doubt he will. And as you say, he admitted, yes, that was wrong. The other thing is the whole environment. We apply everything from our own experience here in Australia and the great commitment that everybody has made to fighting COVID, the great lengths people have gone to, giving up their ordinary lives, seeing people, going out and about, going to school, going to work even. People have foregone that in order to fight this. That is not the case in Europe, as we know. That is not the case in Serbia. So, yes, they do have rules and regulations as well. I think they're only just getting over 50% vaccination now. There's a much more casual approach to this. And we know that by looking at the experience of all, you know, many European countries throughout the pandemic. So we're applying our experience and our commitment to another place which doesn't have the same sort of experience or commitment.
Overnight, I had an interesting conversation with Abel Rizvi, the former Deputy Secretary of the Department of Immigration, about what would happen next if indeed the Immigration Minister decided to deport him. And he explained that normally officers, Border Force officers, would be sent in, often they're armed, and they would go to wherever Novak Djokovic was at the time, whether, you know, it could even be at Melbourne Park, and basically detain him and take him to an immigration detention centre to then be deported from the country pending any further legal challenges. What are the optics of all of this, given the global scrutiny of it now?
Well, I think people externally, people in other places are looking in and seeing a very heavy hand, asking about, you know, serious justification. And of course, it is within the minister's rights. It's written into the Act that he has this right to be able to do this. And it comes down to the question of whether Novak Djokovic is a risk to the health, the safety, or the good order of the Australian community. That is what the Act says, which gives him the authority to be able to cancel a visa and deport somebody. Now, in the scheme of things, when we look at the situation, and Abel Rizvi has said this a number of times, Novak Djokovic had fulfilled everything that was asked of him in a legal sense to come into this country. Midway through his flight, our policy changed. And that policy shift was that for 2 years, the idea of applying for an exemption was a state-based issue. That was not what the federal government was involved with. But that shifted mid-flight for Novak Djokovic. So he departed thinking the laws and the regulations were one thing, and he arrived to find out that they were another. And that is a very difficult prospect for anybody to have to deal with.
There's been a bit said and written about the possibility of us losing the Australian Open. When we spoke to John Alexander, the federal Liberal MP and former pro tennis player earlier in the week, this is what he said about it.
No, we can't lose it, but we can be diminished. If the Australian Open is making conditions that people seem to meet and then are not allowed to come, even though they seem to have met the conditions, that would not help our status. We had previously been the poor cousin of the four events, but with the establishment of the Melbourne Park and the incredible investment into Melbourne Park, that it is significantly the best venue of the Grand Slams.
Tracy Holmes, is that correct? We can't lose it?
That is correct. It would be unlikely. However, what we have to ask, Hamish, is what impact does this have on future international events being held in this country when the sorts of safe passage for athletes at the border cannot be guaranteed? For instance, in 2023, we're hosting the FIFA Women's World Cup, the biggest event in women's sport on the planet. There will be nations coming from Africa and South America that have, they don't even have enough vaccines to give to their population. What do we say to those athletes? Oh, we'll come and we've got you an exemption, but try your luck because we're not sure exactly how it's going to play out. I mean, these are the sorts of things, justified or not, that people will be asking before they come to Australia or before they award Australia international events of this significance in the future.
And briefly, Tracy, what of the Czech tennis player that has already been deported?
Yeah, very good question. And she has now said that she is going to sue. The story is that she was at the pool at the hotel where she had been staying for a week and competing. Again, as we say, apparently no health risk to the community. And then the policy changes and police arrived, arrested her, detained her at the same facility that Novak Djokovic was at, and then deported her. And she's now going to sue, she says.
Tracy Holmes, thank you very much.
Thanks, Hamish.